Oh, just me and you tonight. Let's learn that today is daf lamid hey. Law. Tonight is the mazel dikenacht for the shidduchim. Because it's law. Law is her. Anyone needs a shidduch? Tonight's the dat. Tonight's the night. It's a mazel dikenacht. Law. We're up to over here. Daf lamid first and daf lamid dalid omibes. Let's go to the bottom of the Daf Lamed Beis where it says in the Gemara, where it says, let's see where we're going to start from over here. It says, let's have a chevron. Let's have a chevron sheva shandiv mesa. Okay, it's a dot. It's about 2/3 down. A nice starting point in the Gemara. Easy Gemara, it's Rashi and Chumash. Ready? All right. And he saw right from the bottom. It says, it says though this sugya, the whole daf is daf of Agadita, dealing with the Meraglim. It says it was built Sheva Hashem Nivnisa, my Nivnisa. What does it mean it was Nivnisa? It was built 7 years. Elam and Nivnisa Mamish, it was built 7 years. Efshar can't be, because it can't be that Chevron was built 7 years before. What does the entire pasuk say? The chevron, vayalu v'negev, vayivuat chevron, v'sham achiman sheshayv v'samay yiludi ha'onok. The chevron sheva shonim nivnasa lefnei tsoyan mitzrayim. It was built 7 years before tsoyan mitz. That was the name of the sitzan shayim. So, what does it mean? It was physically built before impossible. Why not? Because Adam, he had three sons, Cush, Mitzrayim, Belud. So Cush was the oldest son, Mitzrayim was the second son, and Chevron, Ella, and what's the kasha? It was built 7 years. Now, and Chevron, who Chevron was Shach to Chum. Wait. It was. Let's read the entire pasuk. Pasuk over here says, "Uvnei Chum Chush uMitzrayim uFut uChinoan." Let's go right in the Gemara. Moses says, "My Elam Chunim Zamam Shem Shalom Bani Banes Lubin Lo Kadosh Lubin Lo Adon." They'll say, "Uvnei Chum Chush uMitzrayim Chush uMitzrayim uFut uChinoan." Ella, we'll read the Rashi in a moment. Ella, what it has to then mean is Ella shahaisa mivune al echad mishiva b'tzoyan. It was the quality. The word nivnasa does not mean built. Nivnasa means it was quality. It was qualitatively better, seven times more than tzoyan. Let's see Rashi. Rashi says. Let me find the Rashi. Rashi, Dibra Maskel says, Talamim, Manikim, Livnei Katan, Rashi, Kinan was Katan Habonim, Shel Cham Hoya, Umitzrayim Sheni Labonim. Okay, so Kinan was the youngest. There were four children mentioned here by Cham. There were four children. Kinan was the youngest, and Mitzrayim was the second. Chevron was built was in the land of Canaan. So Chevron was built for Canaan. And Mitzrayim, it says that it was Sheva Sham Divnas Alifnei Tsoyan Mitzrayim. So Chevron, if you want to learn the Pasuk of Shushal Mikra, Chevron was built 7 years before Tsoyan in Egypt was built. That cannot possibly be, because that would mean that Chum, he built a city for his fourth child before he built a city for his second child. And that cannot possibly be. So we have to then see that when it says Sheva Shanim Nivnasa, Nivnasa means that it was seven Shanim. Shanim does not mean years. Shanim means times. Nivnasa means quality. It was built later. Chevron was built later than Tsoyan Mitzrayim, but the quality of the land of Chevron was Sheva Shonim. Shonim means times, multiplication. Nivnisa, quality, qualitatively superior. Two, the land of Tzoyin in Mitzrayim. Now, the land in Tzoyin in Mitzrayim was a garden. Mitzrayim was Kigan Hashem Ke'eretz Mitzrayim. Chevron is a place of stones, of rocks. It's a place of a hard, hard land where it's not fit for vegetation. And in fact, that's what the Gemara is going to say in a few moments. That's where people are buried. Yet, the hard, rocky burial cemeteries of Eretz Yisrael is seven times better than the fertile land of Egypt. That's what the pasuk means. Okay, so that's what Rashi says. Back to the moment over here. The chevron shev shem levnusah mind levnusah ilim levnusah mamash afi evzah adibadu bayis lebnei katan v'kaid lebnei gadol tachsev v'nei cham chushim mitzrayim ufotu chenoan. And chevron is Kenan, the fourth child. And Mitzrayim, Tzoyim Mitzrayim is the second son. Ela shehoisa mivuna, that's nivnisa. It was mivuna of better quality. Al echad mishiva, seven times. That's the word shonim. Shonim means times. Bitsoyan of Tzoyan of Egypt. Now, the Gemara now analyzes the quality of the land. There is no land in Eretz Yisrael that is more rocky, that is more hard, that is not fit for vegetation and land of Chevron. How do you know that? Because that's where the cemeteries are. The Karvriba Shichve. That was selected, that was designated to be a land for the cemetery, because you would not want to take a land that's good to produce food, produce, and use it for the dead. Egypt is the best land. It says about Sidon, Sidon was Kegan Hashem Ke'eretz Mitzrayim. Sidon was the main of the land of Egypt. And yet, Sidon was the best. The land of Egypt was the best of the Middle East. And in the land of Egypt, the best part of the land of Egypt was Sidon. The afilu hachi, and nevertheless, afilu hachi, chevron mevuna echad meshiva b'tzoyin. In fact, the Gemara, is it really true that chevron was a land that was full of rocks? For chevron, tirashim, ohave. Is it really true that it was full of rocks? Of Yog, so it says in the pasuk, vayhi miketz arboim shalom zaten 40 years, vayim arvashon alamelech elchana. The Amar Rav Avia Vitemer Rav Bar Chanan Sholach Lohavi Kivosim Mechevroin. It says that Avshalom went to Chevroin to bring lambs, because they were grazing on that land. Now, if they're grazing on the land, it means the land does not have rocks, because if there's rocks, there's no grass. Yeah, the Thailand the Brisa Elim Mimoav Kivosim Mechevroin. Rams come from Moab and Kivasim sheep from Chevron. So the Gemara says, no, Mine. Right, exactly. The fact that this pasture. No, we got a big problem here. I really can't hear myself. I cannot hear myself. They're talking so loud. I cannot hear a word that I'm saying to myself. I don't know how to address this issue. I can't go fight with these little kids. They come in to learn. They're in fourth grade. They come in. They actually learn. They learn. Okay, this is Siegfried. Yisholme is Siegfried's son. Sonfeld. This is from Eretz Yisrael. The angle of Sonfeld. And then this is Yeshua Leib Fruchtelner's children, two of them. He controls Chaim Berlin. So I can't open up my mouth. They're here learning. What? What's the first name? No, not that. It's Meltzer. This is all Meltzer. What's Chaim Zonfeld? Yeah. So this is the Ben Acha Ben. It's right here in front of me. So we have here the Gedolei Yisrael are right in front of me over here. We have the Gedolei Yisrael. We have the Rosh Yeshivas of Chaim Berlin. And we have the Yeshivas of Yerushalayim HaKodesh. And we have Yishalmei Zikrit's son, his father was ready for 60 years in Chaim Berlin. Who am I to open my mouth? Miani. I'm a nobody. Ich bin a garnish, mamish. By the time these guys are my age, I'll be dead. You know that? Think about that. By the time they reach my age, I'll be long dead. It's a very humbling thing to think about. Weiter. Vitanya. Let's see the Rashis. Rashi over here. Let's go back a couple of the Rashis. Rashi over here says Shahayu. Rashi Mevune. I'm going up to the Rashi. We did already. We did a little bit of Katan. Now to the next Rashi. It's like in the middle of the page. Mevune means Loshon Avoneh. Loshon Iboneh. Iboneh. I will build. Iboneh Mimena. Iboneh Mimena. It's a very interesting Rashi. Mevuna comes from the word to build. It was built up seven times more than Tsoyan Mitzrayim. Kiloimar, miyusheves beperos. It was settled with Paris. We now want to welcome to the Bet Midrash the one and only Mr. Ron Goldberg. Mr. Ron Goldberg has entered the Ulam HaBet Midrash. Kiloimar, miyusheves beperos. Tirashim, what are Tirashim? Rats. Siloim, shein, oisim, peros, keretz, lecha. The Kirgosh Chive, the land of Chevron is where they bury the dead. Loi garsu in my time. Eloch amar v'teda the Tiroshim hi ve'ena ruya liperos kichol eretz ha'ara eretz. Therefore, yichudu likivurus meisim. The fact that it's not fit for produce is the fact that they designated this land as a cemetery. V'etekihoi b'tzon son. How do you know that son is the best land of the entire Egypt? Because it says that in son were the princes. The princes always get the best stuff. Shal Melech Yisrael Shasholchem El Paroi La'azoloi El Melech Ashur Alma Paroi Bitsoin Yoshiv V'Sham Holchem Levakshem. This pasuk is describing when they went. They sent the message. They said, "Oh no, you're leaving. These guys are leaving." So they went to beg. This is a very important Rashi. Why is Rashi telling us this? That the Jews, in the time when Nebuchadnezzar, they felt they were going to be annihilated. So they went to America to ask America to help them. The America of those days was Egypt. Egypt was the stronghold. It was the Malchus. That's where the money was. So they went to Mitzrayim, to Egypt. And where did they go? They spoke to the Secretary of Defense. And where was the Secretary of Defense living? He was living in the land of Tsoan. In the land of Tsoan. The entire Egypt, this is the best land of the entire Egypt. And yet this land is only 1/7 of the quality of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, Vaita. And then the Gemara says, "Really, is it really true that in the land of Hebron there are only rocks and there is no pasture?" But it says that Avshalom he went to pasture to get some sheep from the land of Hebron. Okay, so he made a neder when he was in Gishur. I don't know what the story was. Uvechevron, my boy, why did he go there to Chevron? At this time, where was the Mishkan? The Mishkan was located in Givon. Lahavi kvasim la'ila. The answer, because that's where the good stuff was. The reason why Avshalom, he made a neder, that he's going to bring animals, he needed to purchase animals. The marketplace to purchase the animals was in Chevron, because in Chevron was all the good pasture land. Rashi, lo'ilov ilo krasim o'ilo, do'amah mar b'mesech l'menachas, kevasim b'chevron, alma eretz mirah ha'isa. So what's the kasha? How can you tell me that the land of Chevron is only teroshim, it's only rocks, and that's why it was selected to be a cemetery? But we learned from the ma'isa of Avshalom that he wanted to bring korbanos to Hashem, and he needed to buy the animals. Where did he get the animals from? He went to Chevron, because Chevron was a land of pasture. So therefore you see that it's not a rocky land. So the Gemara answers, Mino. From that Gemara that you brought, you asked me from Akasha, that Gemara itself provides the answer. The answer over here is provided within that Gemara itself, Mino. Kiloimar, mi teshuvoscha ta misayeni, shlohoysa chashuva li zora, kesharetz, me'acha shohoya bas teroshim, kitarinu mizor mitzia, v'yasoycher, v'i ara demechaska, big, Rundehi, Shneem Meshalmin, the Kalisha Ara, offer shell to Roshim, Dak, the Kolish, Umuat, who, Omitoyakach, Lohoyu Hoshim, Zerm Oisa, Tuos Machel Adam, Vavoida Raya, Mitzam Semes, that's the next piece of Gemara, Mitzam Semes, Mitzam Meches, Umale Asavim, the Oichlim Hatzain, the Shemen. Kanya, Hanakane Hatsoin Hamikne had soin, shaken der had soin lahashpiach beoretz yvesha utroshim yosem eretz lecha. Let's chazal, what's the answer? Mina. What's the answer? Mina. I'll prove to you that Adarab, the heaven is a land that does not produce any produce. What's the raya? Nachmaluma mina. Aidi de kilisha, ara. Because the land is kolish, it's very weak. Of the raya means mitzameches, it sprouts. Umale asavim, and grass grows. Ve'oichlu matzoin, v'shemen kanya, hamikne hatzoin, v'shomen kanya, hamikne hatzoin shekein derech hatzoin lashpiach ve'eretz yivesha. What do those last words mean? Give me one moment. Over here in the Masift it says, the al yidei zem mashmin had to become fat. Shu kinyonoi shalom v'shomein kinyono. A person's acquisition, his possessions, they become fat. So just the opposite. Because the land, oh wow. Shlomo Rabinowitz over here is greeting us from the backdrop. You don't have a green screen though, because you look very choppy. You look like the people who went to the moon, who really didn't go to the moon and just went behind a green screen and on a set. Your screen is very choppy, you're confusing me. Can you turn off the backdrop and just put you on regular, please?
How?
What do you mean how? Turn off the back thing. Oh no, where do you go now? You disappeared, Shlomo Rabinowitz?
I didn't put it on.
What, you didn't put it on?
I'm on the plane.
You're on the plane?
Yeah.
You're on the plane, you're learning Torah over the Atlantic Ocean?
The plane.
You're on the plane right now?
Yes.
And this, you're using your phone? You're using your phone?
We didn't take off yet.
You're still in America.
Where is he going?
In America.
He's going to Eretz Yisrael for a week.
Oh, very nice.
He's on the plane, he's learning with us on an airplane.
Why didn't he take me along?
This is the first time I ever gave a shiur on an airplane.
Mm-hmm. You have to make a shachiana.
Okay, so let's learn over here. What does it mean over here? May you have a safe trip. We want to welcome Mr. Rapport as well to the basement. We have over here a full shiur. The only one that's missing is the chassid. What happened to the chassid? We have very... he showed me his tickets. He's showing me his tickets on the plane. El Al. El Al. Business class? Shlevi, business class?
You wish. Economy.
Oh, economy. Okay, Vaita. Is a very important question. Is who sitting next to you?
Not yet.
What?
Not yet.
No. Your wife is next to you. No, I have to know that because I have to be very careful what I say. I have to be very careful. If your wife is... She can't hear me well?
I'm going to
introduce
myself.
All right, fine. Vaita, Vitanya. Let's go Vaita over here. Vitanya, Mino. Aidi de Kalisha Ara of the Raya. Of the Raya means it produces grass. Vishomein Kinyono, and the person's possessions become fat. They prosper. In other words, what we were saying, you saw it, that the land, a rocky land, like go to Central Park, there's certain parts of Central Park that are very, very rocky. When I was in college, we took a course in geology, and we had to all meet in Central Park, and we had to study all the stones, all the different, they gave us whole tour with the professor. I remember that it was a Sunday. I had to go there on Sunday to go look all the rocks, all the different stones. The Gemara was saying over here is that you have a land that's rocky, that's Tadoshim Adraba. It is ideal for pasture. Maybe it's not ideal to grow grain, wheat and barley and rice and spelt and oats and beans. You like beans? Goya beans? Maybe it's not necessarily the best place to produce produce, but it is the ideal place to produce quinoa. But it is the ideal place to produce grass that animals like to eat. So adraba, because the land it's dry. The Gemara is coming over to describe the qualities. I don't know these things. You have to be a mumche in these things to understand how these things work. But every type of earth in every location is ideal for a certain different type of product. And the Gemara having the thought that the fact that the animals at Avshalom went to this location to buy sheep, because that's where the sheep pasture, the Gemara and the Havamina thought that if the land is good pasture land, automatically means it's a land that's of high quality and it can produce a high quality grain, produce for human beings. And the Gemara says, no, you're making a very big mistake. You have to know the science. Pum fakert. The land that's very rocky, it's very, 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 and very dry, is the perfect type of produce grows in such a land that is ideal for animal consumption. And exactly that's why Avshalom went to this location to buy animals, because this was the pasture land of the animals. That's where they sold animals, because that's where the animals hung out to pasture. And that's Adrab, it's a right. So the Gemara concludes over you, Mino, Pum Fakert. Because indeed he went there to this location, I did the Kalisha Ara, because the land is Kolish, the land is very, the taich of the word Kolish means it is, Kolish means it's mu'at, it's small. The earth, in other words, the earth, there's not a lot of soil. The soil is not that much, because underneath the soil, the topsoil, you're going to hit a rock. Aidi de Kalish, there's a small amount of soil are of the earth. Of the raya, it produces pasture. Vishamein kinyon, the person's possessions, they wax. They become fat. Shlomi, if I were you, I wouldn't eat too much over there. I see Shlomi on the airplane. I see behind you, I see all those people over there. They're all getting ready for the flight of their life to go to the Eretz HaKodesh. The Eretz HaKodesh. Okay. Mr. Rapport, you also look like you're on a plane. I see behind you also cabinets. Mr. Ron Goldberg, he's not going nowhere. He's sitting over here in front of me. Vaita. Okay, let me know more the Rashi. The Rashi over here says, Rashi de Kalisha Ara offer shel Turashim Dak. The word Kalisha means it's meager. Say it again, I can't hear you. Kalisha means it's meager. Offer shel Turashim Dak the Kalisha Muatu. They did not plow next of the raya mitzameche somale asavim the oichle matzon the sheep eat it the shomein kinyona a mikne hatzoin your possessions a person's animals is called his possessions shkein derech hatzoin lashpiach the eretz yivesh v'troshim yosem eretz lecha. Okay, so Baruch Hashem, we learned the entire half an omelet over here so far with every Rashi, the Clarkite. Now we turn the page. We ask all the passengers aboard El Al Flight 103 to please sit down and fasten your seatbelts and to turn the page. We turn the page now to Daf Lamed Hey Omer Aleph. Vayelchu Vayevu, now we go back to the story of the Meraglim. See, this is very appropriate to learn this stuff on the airplane when you're going to Eretz Yisrael. Shlomi, we're learning about going to Eretz Yisrael. The Meraglim was spent to spy on the land. And here you are. There's a lot of noise over here. Someone's making a lot of noise over here. Someone has to go on mute. Who's going to be the one that goes on mute? I put you on mute, Shlomi. That's quiet everyone. That quiet everyone down. Okay. It's very appropriate that Shlomi Rabinowitz is on the plane to Eretz Yisrael on the daf when we're learning about the Meraglim who also went to Eretz Yisrael. They went to Eretz Yisrael 3,335 years before you, Shlomi, were going to Eretz Yisrael. They did not travel on an airplane. They traveled on a donkey, or they walked. And look how times have changed. The more things change, the more they stay the same. It's now 3,335 years since the Meraglim entered into Eretz Yisrael, and Shlomi Rabinowitz is repeating. He's following in their footsteps. He's going to Eretz Yisrael right now on the airplane.
But he's not going to speak Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael.
I see a religious people behind you. They look like they're Hasidim behind you, Shlomi. They're wearing vests and hats. Hasidim. Vayelchu vayavohu, it says in the pasuk, vayelchu vayavohu, they went to the land. There are two words in this pasuk, vayelchu and vayavohu. We compare one to the other. Ma bia ba'itza ra, af halicha ba'itza ra. Incredible chiddush. Is that from the very beginning, they already planned evil. It says when they arrived, just like when they entered into Eretz Yisrael, they made a decision to speak Lashon Hara, and the Pasuk says, Vayelchu, it's an indication that they already planned to make trouble, to speak Lashna before they even left. Even before they stepped foot in the land, they already made a decision they're going to speak Lashon Hara. Rashi. Vayelchu vayavo, loy gar sinan, we're not garis, he says that this is in the Gersiv, chsiv elah, vayelchu elah, vayelchu yiseruhu. The cave in the chsiv, le'el vayashuvu, lo havu le'el le'meimar elah vayavohu, el Moshe. Okay, so the drush over here is the word vayelchu is superfluous. Rashi says, because it says already vayelchu, the word in this pasuk that we just read is superfluous. We already know that they went. So what's the word vayelchu? An extra word to make a drasha, to teach you, to be makish, to the yelech, to the bia, just like when they entered into the land, they didn't want to say lashon hara, so too when they set out to travel, they still want to say lashon hara. Makish alichasan, shaholchu latur libiyasan, to coming. Af halichasan be'et sarah, shemetchila lohitzi diba nischavnu. From the moment they set out to travel to the land, they already made a decision that they don't want to go into Eretz Yisrael. Next piece of Gemara. Vayisapru loy vayoymru, when they returned back, they spoke over, they told over the Moshe Rabbeinu and Klal Yisrael what they saw. And they said, Banu. Uchsiv says in the Pasuk, Efes. They said, we came to the land, and the land is beautiful, it's very, very nice, Alt is good. However, Efes. It's worthless. Efes means simply but. Efes. But Efes, you know, in modern Hebrew, Shlomi is going to the Medina, where they speak the modern language Hebrew, and there the word Efes means zero. Zero. Which means, yeah, the land is beautiful and fine, but in essence, the land is worthless. It's Efes. That is the sin. That is where the Meraglim went wrong. When the Meraglim said the word Efes, it was all over. Banu Chsif Efes. Efes means bot, or it means it's worthless. Ki az ha'am, the beauty of the land is not going to help us because there's no way in the world we're going to be able to conquer a land of giants. The people there are az. They're mighty. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Now we have a simon. MS Levadoi Levoya. MS. Okay, this is a simon for the Gemara. Mishur Rabbi Meir called Lashon Hara Shein Bo Davar MS Betchilasai. When a person speaks Lashon Hara, I'll tell you a technique now. If you want to be successful in speaking Lashon Hara, you have to add a little truth in the middle. Because if you only add a little truth, then they're going to completely discredit what you say. So when you cheat on an election, there has to be some parts of the country that you let vote honestly. If everything is dishonest, then you can get caught. You have to always mix into the sheker a shtickel emes. Kol l'shoyin harash, ein b'idavar emes, b'tchiloso ein miskayim b'soifah. And that's why this is emes. Next, vayas kolav esa'am, kolav vayas. How do you translate the word vayas? I don't know. How do you translate the word? Shlomi, you have an arsh with you, Shlomi? You have an arsh with you? No? Vayas. Vayas is he distracted. Kalev Esa'am El Moshe, or he turned. I don't know a good translation of the word Vayas. Mr. Rapport, do you have in front of you an Ashul Gemara? Do you have an Ashul Gemara in front of you? Does it have a translation for the word Vayas? Vayas.
Hold on.
Okay, Vayas.
He was tricking the Meraglim.
He was trying to get a technique.
He didn't want them, you know, to make him stop speaking.
So. Vayahas. Let's see what it says. Translate from Hebrew. No, there's no translation over here. They don't have a translation. Vayahas kolev esa'am. We need a precise translation for this word. Okay, you'll come back soon. Next, vayita el maisha amar rabba shehisitan bidvarim. Okay, so I think the Gemara is telling us what it means. It means that he turned. Shehisit, like hesit.
It
means to turn. To turn, what to turn?
He threw them a curveball.
Hushed.
Okay. He quieted them down. He quieted the people down by raising his voice and speaking. That is the pshuto shel mikra. However, the Gemara is making a drasha. The Gemara is saying the word vayas comes from the word of hasata. Hasata means to move, to turn. He directed their attention. He directed their attention to him. Vayas, you call it Sa'am El Almosh I'm a rabba, Shasitan Bidvadim. What does it mean?
Rashi quotes in the Chumash, Rashi says from Zechariah,
Has called Basim upon I. Quiet. Silence. Mute. Mute. It means to mute. Like Zoom. Zoom. Has called Basim upon I. Silence. In that pasuk in Zechariah, the word has means silence. How do you know that Matan Torah was given through Zoom? Because it says in the pasuk, Haskel Bosom Iponai. It says in the Haftarah, you read the Haftarah on Shavuos, the second day of Shavuos, Haskel Bosom Iponai, which there refers to Matan Torah, it means silence. There's a guy right on top of your head there, so make sure he doesn't drop anything on your head there. This guy is wearing a hoodie. Next door to you? He's sitting next to you, that guy. Where's your wife sitting? Your wife's at the corner. Your wife's a window seat. It's a window seat. Okay. Weiter. Omar Lefan. Omar Rav is just sitting with one in Pasach Yoshua. Weiter. Number Pasach Yoshua. So what did Yeshua say? The Kom Mishtoi. What does that mean? Yeshua began. He began to speak. The Kom Mishtoi. Yeshua said the following. The other people were speaking, and he was not able to distract them. Okay, Pasach Yeshua the Kom Mishtoi. Yeshua wants the Hashem to Shuvasai Ledov the very Magnus Beginus Haaretz. Pasach Yeshua the Kom Mishtoi. Yeshua wanted to respond to the Meraglim who spoke the Gnus of Eretz Yisrael. I don't know how to translate these words exactly. Pasach Yehoshua deko mishtoe. What does it mean exactly? She Yehoshua rotsa lohashef teshuva ledivri hamaraglim l'shedibur begnus haaretz she yisku oisa ben zifa. I don't know what this means exactly, but let's go right anyway. Pasach Yehoshua deko mishtoe. The people were talking. The Meraglim were speaking. And what happened? Amrilei, they said, Dein Roish Kitiya Yimalel. And they said to Yoshua, a person whose head is cut down, should he speak? She'ein loy banim, lachnisim l'aretz Yisrael l'chem loy ichbas loy im aretz toiva eloy. Okay, so over here they said very insulting things. They called Yehoshua a person who's Roish Ketiah. His head is cut off. Why? He has no children. Yehoshua had only daughters, it says. Yehoshua did not have sons. He had no sons. So if he had a son in those days, you don't get a chilek in the land. Okay, I mean, until Benoit Slavchot came along. So therefore, they said that you have nothing to gain. The reason we cannot allow Yehoshua to talk about that because Yeshua doesn't care if the land is good or the land is no good because it's not nogea him because he has no children that anyway are going to get the land. So therefore, he couldn't care less. So therefore, we don't care what he has to say. That's how they insulted Yehoshua. The Kom Mishtoi, Omrei Le, they said to him, Dein this person whose Roish Kiti, whose head is cut down, meaning it's an expression. He has no children. No Yimalel. Does he have the right to speak up and to talk about Eretz Yisrael? Omar. So Yehoshua said, Imishtaino, if I say something, which means I talk, Amri bimilsa. They're going to say nasty things about me. The Chamsin li, they're going to muzzle me. They're going to deplatform me. Omar Lohen. So he came up with a solution. And he made believe that he was on their team. He made believe that he's now going to say nasty things about Eretz Yisrael. He began with nastiness. Is this the only thing that the Ben Amram did for us? Now, how did Yehoshua show his nastiness? The answer is, he called Moshe by the name Ben Amram. When you call a person by their father's name, it's like basically saying that you're worthless and you're just the son of someone else. You don't have a name for you. The greatest thing you can do in this world is to make a name for yourself. Yeah? Mr. Rappert, I can't hear you. I can't hear you. This Kalev who's saying this? Okay, I'm sorry. It's Kalev who's saying this? Okay, fine. Kalev is then speaking. Fine. Kalev is speaking. And what did he say, Omar? V'chizu bilvad osalonu ben Amram. He called Moshe by the term Ben Amram, because that way the people within it is also coming to make a complaint.
He's getting ready to insult.
Savrei, they thought, Bignusei komishtoi, Ishtigu, so everyone was silent. Let Kalev speak up. Omar Luhu, and then he tricked them, and he reminded all the people, look what Moshe Rabbeinu did for us. Hotziyanu mimitzrayim, v'karlanu esayam, v'yachilanu esamon. Im yoimar, if Moshe would tell us, asu sulamos ve'alu l'rakia, if Moshe would say to us, make ladders and ascend to heaven, loy nishma loy, aloy nalev yirashnu oisa. So this was his technique. Now let's see the Rashis until now. Okay, Rashi Dibra Maschil, Einoi Miskayim, Shechzeh, Machazikin Oysan HaShemim Kibadoin, Lefichach Oymer Dover MS, Oymer Dover MS, Techila, Kadesh Sheyaminu Riaf Miraglum Lekach Poscha Beshevach Aretz Metchila. Okay, so the Gemara, the Rashi over here is the last wide line on top of the page. And Rashi over here is going back on the Gemara, it says MS. Any Lashon Hara that does not have within it a small amount of MS, it's not, no one's going to listen to. You have to start with MS. And that's the aim of it. If it's not, it's not Miskayim. The words again are here. Shemachazikin oyson hashemim kibadoin. If there's no MS in what you say, the listeners immediately suspect that you're a liar. Lefichach, in order to gain the trust of the listeners, oymer dover MS tchila. You first say something that's truthful. Kidei sheyaminu, in order to draw the people in. So to the Miraglim, when they spoke Lashon Hara on Eretz Yisrael, they first began to say Divrei Emes. Toiv Haaretz Ma'od Ma'od, the land is very good. They said all these nice things before they went and they turned and they said Ephes. Before they said the word Ephes, they said beautiful things about Eretz Yisrael. That was nothing more than a technique in order to draw the people in. Vaiter, Vayahas, Shiskon. Hushed. Okay, so Mr. Rapport told me the word vayahas literally means to silence. Has kol basar miponai. Shiskon. Shiskon means sheket, quiet. El Moshe, bidvarim. Shehishil ledabim Moshe. They began to say words about Moshe. Vayisruim shebegunusa yoritzel saber. They began to talk about Moshe. And they called Moshe Ben Amram. The title Ben Amram is an insult. When you call a person, you call him by his name. You don't call him by his father's name. Because the goal in this world is to make a name for yourself. And when you call a person, an accomplished person, by his father's name, it's an insult, as if he says you lived a whole life and you accomplished nothing. You're nothing more than the child of a great person. You have nothing, you have not contributed anything unique in this world. So they began by insulting Moshe, by calling Moshe Ben Amram. And then he drew in their attention because they believe that he's going to say nasty things. And lo and behold, he said beautiful words. Okay, we said over a chiddush of the word, the term of Ben Amram. And it's a mamish apella. It's mamish apella that Yeshua and Kalev were able.
It said Ben Amram.
Ben Amram, okay. I hear what you're saying. I hear. I don't know.
Ben Amram.
I hear what you're saying. I don't know the answer. Pash over here, when he said Ben Amram, was an insult. And at least the tone, the inflection of their voice was, he's coming to say something very nasty. Are you allowed to do that? Do the ends justify the means? Are you allowed to go and insult, to give the impression for a few moments that you, the Talmud, are insulting your Rebbe in order to use that as a technique in order to achieve the greater goal? Mr. Goldberg, would you ever do such a thing like that? Do the ends...
The ends justify the means.
Do you really? The ends justify the means? Is that really true? Not so pashut, but that's what they did. Shesitam bidvarim kin mefarish v'azal. He turned them. The word heset. Heset means to move. He moved them. What did he say? Dechazya, Kalev Yoshua. When Kalev saw Yoshua sheratz ledaber, v'shiskuhu b'nezifa, v'amru loy roish haketua yedaber. So there's a very important Rashi. Rashi was telling us the story. I never knew this. This is all new to me. It's only because Mr. Goldberg has come tonight, and Shalim has come tonight, and Mr. Rapport, and Shem Rabinowitz even says such devotion to the shir, that he listens to the shir on the airplane. I mean, this is mamish unbelievable. Who would do such a thing like this? I wouldn't do it. Would you do it, Mr. Goldberg, when you're on the airplane to go listen to the shir? It's unprecedented. Such devotion to the shir.
I don't know how to use Zoom.
Unbelievable. We'll teach you how to use. So over here,
So, I have to come in person.
You have another Makar. Kel, can you hear me?
Yes.
You have another Makar where you use the last name as an insult. In Shmuel Aleph, when there's a
Ben Yishai.
He says in the process.
Ben Nava Samardus. Ben Nava Samardus. Ben Yishai. He calls him Ben Yishai.
Right. So it's also an insult.
It's an insult, exactly. So we hear, but I never appreciated this part of the story. I missed the dialogue. The dialogue was Yehoshua was trying to speak up. Yehoshua was trying to speak. And Kalev saw that no one wants to listen to Yehoshua. So it was Kalev that took the sacrifice. It was Kalev Rajas. Look at the Rajas, very precise. The Chazik, when Kalev saw Yehoshua, Sharatza Ladaber, Yehoshua wanted to speak up and no one wants to listen to Yehoshua. The Shisku, they silenced Yehoshua. And they said, Benazifa, with a shout, who are you to talk? You don't have any children. That's also a terrible thing to say to a person. You don't have any children. That's the lowest blow you can say to a person. Benazifa, Vyamolo, Roy Shakatua Yedaber. Should the person whose head is chopped off speak? Me Sharoy Shakatua. Vos meinta Roisha Ketua? She'ein loy banim. Little chelik ba'aretz. You don't have any sons that are going to take a possession in the land. Hu yidaber b'faneinu. V'chasmin li. V'chasmin m'shaskin oisi. They silenced. What was those words going on the Gemara is Amri be milsa. So what did he say? So Kalev said, I want to defend my friend Yehoshua. I don't like what they're doing to him, that they're deplatforming him. You know what it means to deplatform?
Yeah.
Deplatform is the ultimate censorship. Mm-hmm. You can censor someone, you can cancel them, yeah. And you can deplatform. These are all new terms we have in our generation.
That's what they try to do.
Censorship, cancellation, and to deplatform. When you have a stage on a media outlet. And you are removed. You are removed. It's called to deplatform. So here they wanted to live with Chasm. So Kalev, I'm going to open up my mouth, they're going to do to me what they did to Yehoshua. So Kalev came up with an Eitzah. And he said, let me make believe that I'm also going to complain against Moshe Rabbeinu. Very good, that's right. Let's see, make believe. And then he said, Olo, and then he says, is this the only thing Ben Amram did for us? And then when he got their attention, he says, Rabbeisai, don't forget the holiness of Moshe Rabbeinu. He took us out of Mitzrayim. He did all these things for us. If Moshe Rabbeinu would tell us to go take out ladders and climb to Shemayim, Oloi Naleh, Afle Shemayim, Im Yitzave, Aleinu, we would go. Okay, we would go. We would go to Shemayim. You should know that's the only reason why we haven't developed such a Zach of going to the moon, going to Mars, going to outer space, space station. It's because the words came out of Kalev. Olay nale. Olay nale. If you want it, we'll go. When the tzaddik says these words, he creates a koyach in the veld where the science is revealed that you can go to the moon. You want to go to the moon? Would you want to go to the moon? What do you want to do up there? What are you going to do up there? A Chabad house up there? Weiter. Olay nale. Afla shamayim. It says here in the Gemara, never forget this. Taflam and ham with Aleph. It says here in the Gemara, Olay nale. Afla shamayim. Im yitzave oleinu. We'll go up to shamayim. Yeah. If you command us to go climb up to the moon, we'll go up to the moon. Vait. Mimenu. Now we go to the next piece of Gemara. Naya Gemara. New Gemara. It says, Ve'anoshim asher olu imo amru lo nuchal. The men that went with Moshe, they went with us. Amru lo nuchal. The Meraglim said, the ones who spoke, the ones who went with us, they said, there's no way we can possibly conquer this land. Bar Papa, they said something very terrible. What did they say? They said, Ki chazaku mimenu. And what does the word mimenu mean? Simply means the people there, the people who live in this land are greater than him.
Hashem.
Who is Hashem? That's a terrible. Mimenu min HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Al tikri, no, so let's clarify. Ki chazaku, what's the Pshushal Mikra? Let's do the Pshushal Mikra. The Pshushal Mikra, the Pasuk says, Ranash Rasha Olu Imo, Amru Lo Nucha Lalos Ela Om, Ela Om, Ki Chazaku Mimenu. Mimenu means from they. when it's a nu with a dot. A dot, mi, me, nu, they. Don't read it mi, me, nu, but read it mi, me, no. A cholam. A cholam. Al tikri, don't read it mi, me, nu, ela, mi, me, no. And that means the Ribbono Shel Olam. They don't know Nekudas in the Gemara, so you have to know how the grammar over here. Don't read it mi, me, nu, with a shurak. Not a shurak, with a, I don't know what that means. Lashon Rabbim. They, ela mi men, no. Lashon Yachad, then the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's what they say, Apikorsis. Okay, I don't even know, I feel kav yachol, as if, I feel balabayis, any yachol lo yitzi, kelov misham, Hashem can't take out his utensils. Over here, we're calling over here the Kenanim, Hashem's kelim. There's a metaphor over here. Hashem cannot rid himself of their kelim. Vayit in the Gemara, Eretz Echelos Yoshvehi, the land eats up its inhabitants. Dorash, Rava, Rava Darshan, Omar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ani Chashavtiyah L'toiva, I did for them a good deed, and they ascribed to me sin. V'heim Choshru L'ra, what does this mean? Ani Chashavtiyah L'toiva, the Kol Hecha D'motu, wherever the Meraglim reached, guess what happened? There was a funeral, someone died. Why did Hashem bring about Hashkacha Prat that someone should die whenever the Meraglim reached the city? In order that the people would be distracted and would not take note that there are spies in the land. But the Meraglim, whose Kavanah was Lera, they used this as an excuse to say, look, everyone in this land dies. People die all the time over here. The Kol Hecha D'matu, Meis Chashiva D'tu, one of their elite died. Kihechi, so that D'nit... The nitridu, they should be distracted, v'loy lish alu abasrayu, and no one should make an investigation. Who are these people? Vikadiari, and some say this is the famous Chazal. Ioiv noch nafshe, Ioiv died on that day when they came there, and the whole Eretz Yisrael, all of the Canaanim, the whole country were mobilized. They all went to the funeral. So when you're going to the funeral, everyone is in a new location, therefore no one's recognized other people, therefore they had no idea who these people were. The atridu kuli alma behespeda, and that was to their great benefit. No one was able to detect that there are spies. The heim chashru l'ra'ah, and they said, Eretz oicheles yoshvechi, it's a land which eats up its inhabitants. People, they die. There's disease. There are issues. Next, unihi vanihi ve'eninu kachagavim. We were like locusts in their eyes, grasshoppers in their eyes. V'chein hayinu. When we looked up at them, we considered ourselves to be grasshoppers. And we also were grasshoppers in their eyes. Fracting Markasha, how do they know? One thing you can say that when you look up at them, so you consider yourself to be a grasshopper relative to them, they were giants. But how do you know what was going on in their mind? Well, you're a mind reader. What right did the Meraglim have to say that we were grasshoppers in their eyes? How do you know that? Did you ever hear them say that? The Gemara now assumes they never heard this. Meraglim shakrei have. They're liars. That we were grasshoppers in their eyes. Okay, you want to say it, fine. You can say what you want to say. Ela v'chein chayinu b'eneihem mino have yadeh. The Gemara is v'lohi. They're not liars. The Gemara is saying emerdik yisoid. The Meraglim were not liars. Isn't that amazing? They're not liars. They were honest people. Anshe emes. They were corrupt, but they were not liars. V'lohi kihavi. Why? Because the Gemara tells us to kihavi mavre avile tuse arze. And what are these are hard words over here. Let me read over here. V'lohi kihavi mavre avile when they were coming to give the Sudas Havra. Okay, Eoiv died. So his children were sitting Shiva. Or it says that there were Chashuvim who died. So the people, the family of these Chashuvim, they had the Sudas Havra. What is Sudas Havra? It's the first meal of a mourner. The first meal of a mourner is a whole procedure. Okay, they're not supposed to eat their own food. They're supposed to be given food from someone else. And they're supposed to drink 10 glasses of wine. And these are goyim. So lav davka, they're following the Jewish law, but they did have some type of service, of comfort. And when they went to these homes, when they were mavri aveli, the to say arze hovu mavre, they gave them food underneath the cedar trees in the field. They did the sudas havro out in the field underneath the mighty cedar trees. V'chi chazinu, and when they were engaged in this activity of giving comfort to the people who were mourning out in the field underneath these cedar trees, So what did the Meraglim do? They were scared, so they climbed up the trees and they hid in the trees. They were afraid of these people. So they went up the trees, they hid in the trees. And the Shah made the Ka'amri, and they heard the mourners, the people there by the base Ovel, out in the field. They looked up into the trees, and look in the tree. It looks like little grasshoppers that look like human beings. The Ka'amri, they said, the Ka'amri, Kachazinon Inche, the Domu, Lekamse, Bilane. Look, there are little people who look like grasshoppers in the tree. Tell the Gemara. This Gemara is Moli Soid, secrets of what goes on in this world. Again, what happened over here was that they came to Eretz Yisrael, and Hashem brought about by Hashgacha Pratis that people should die at this time, so that they would be distracted. They would not be able to go notice that there are spies in the land. And they were busy with funerals. And after the funeral was over, they ran a Sudas Havra. They would feed the mourner the first meal. And they did this outdoors. And the Meraglim got scared they're going to get caught. So they climbed up trees, all the way up in these cedar trees, and they hid in the cedar trees. And when the mourners were eating their food and they were looking up, they looked, look at that, look in the tree. Look, you can see in the tree, it looks like little human beings that look like grasshoppers. So they actually heard with their own ears the Canaanim making a statement that these people in the trees look like grasshoppers. So it's not a lie. When it says in the verse, V'chein ho'yinu b'yeinehem, it's not a lie, it's taka true, because they did say they were grasshoppers. That's the piece of Gemara. Okay, so Nachmud word of Yom Tov says even Nachmud Avshe it redo kol yalbo be hespeid vehem vehem chashu lua eret vechaz shvachi when he vini vechagav chenu beinenu amra v'shash amra agam shakar yave beisham vini vini vechagav lachai elu vechen he beinenu mem no havi yade v'loi he v'nat shakronim ki havi mavri avele two sars they when they gave the sarvot on the trees have a mavri they have a two sars have mavri v'chazenu when the Meraglim saw the people they were scared. So what do? Salku yasemilane. They went up the trees to hide in the trees. And when they were in the trees, they heard the avelim and the people giving them nicham avelim. Shamei de ka'amei kochazinon inshe de domu lekimtse bilane. We see in the trees people look like grasshoppers. Stay in the pasuk. Vatisa kolo eda vayidnu es koylam ayivku. The people, when they heard the lashonar, they raised their voice and they began to cry. What did Hashem do to us to take us out of Egypt? Now we're going to die here in the desert. There's no way we're going to enter into the land. Amar Rabba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Oisayim. That was Ayim Erev Tisha B'Av. It was Erev Tisha B'Av. The eighth day, the Meraglim returned on the eighth day of Av. Amar Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Hein Bachu B'Chiyah Shalchinam, Vani Efke Elohem B'Chiyah L'Doris. They cry B'Chiyah Shalchinam. I'm going to make you cry B'Chiyah L'Doris. You know the final solution when it took place, when they signed the documents. Yimach Shemam v'Zichram, Rasham Aruim. You know when they signed? It was on the eighth day of Tisha, eighth day of Av, leading into the ninth day of Tisha. When they all got together, there was they convened in a certain city. It's a famous thing, which I don't know anything. Somewhere, a certain city where all the Rasham got together to lay out the plans of the final solution. It took place when? On the eighth. The end of the eighth day in the calendar, the eighth day of Chodesh Av. And that's Mamish what it says. You did a Bechiyah Shel Chinam. You cried a Bechiyah Shel Chinam. Vani Ekva Lechem Bechiyah Ledoiris. Vayomru Kol Ho'edah. So that decision, this event took place on the eighth day. On the eighth day. And Hashem says tomorrow is going to be Tisha B'Av. But the Gemara here says in history, historically, one of the worst events in the Jewish history. 6 million people, unprecedented. 6 million people killed. The Gezerah by the Goyim, when they made their plan to go forward was on the eighth day. Like it says in the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't say the Beis Hamikdash. Read the Gemara. It was Oysim Erev Tisha B'Av Hayim. It was Erev Tisha B'Av. I'm going to make you a Bechilu Doiris. So the Velt says Tisha B'Av. It's not says in the Gemara. the Gemara says it's Erev Tisha B'Av. So Erev Tisha B'Av. Erev Tisha
B'Av. That doesn't mean anything?
What?
The word Erev
is added, because the calculation, if you make the calculation from the time the miraculous left, it comes out that they returned on the 8th day of Tisha B'Av. They came back on the 8th day and they spoke on the 8th day and they cried at night. The Veld says that the Meraglim, they said Lashon on the 8th day, and they cried that night, on the 9th. But it doesn't really say in the Gemara. The Gemara says they came back on the 8th day and they cried. So I'm telling you that historically, the 8th day of Av is a very bad day. The Holocaust began on the 8th day, on the 8th day of Av, not on the 9th day. They want, who do they want to stone? To stone Oysam them. Who is the them? It's not so clear. Kolev and Yoshua? Moshe? Who did the people want to stone? Oysam. What does Rashi say? What does Rashi say over here? I can't find what Rashi. There's no Rashi. Okay, Ulchor means Kolev and Yoshua. Uchsiv is the pasuk Chvod Hashem near Beil Moed. The honor of Hashem, Omar Rabbi Chia Bar Abba Melamed Shen Nitoloi Avonim Vizarkum Klapei Milo. They threw stones. The next pasuk says that, and the honor of Hashem appeared. The cloud of Hashem came to protect them. The cloud of Hashem absorbed the stones. Hashem took the hit. Hashem was a shield. The cloud, the Ananiya Kavod, was Hashem's divine presence. Hashem allowed himself to be a godly shield. Yeshua v'Kalev. Yeshua v'Kalev, okay? That's Chazal, Gvaldik. Vayemusu ha'noshim mo'yitzidivis divas ha'aretz ru'om b'magefa. It says they died in the magefa. How did they die? Omar Yishim ben Lakish shemesu misa mishuneh. What's a misa mishune? Amar b'chanina bar papach dorash b'shul ba'ish kfar tam rata timrata melamed shenishtarvev l'shoinam. This is how they died. Okay, it's disgusting that their tongues extended downwards. V'nofal al tiburam. Their tongues extended down to their navel. V'hoyu toiloim yoytzois mil l'shoinam. Worms then came out of their tongue. The nichnosos b'tiburim went into their navel, umitiburim, and it went from their navel all the way back up into their throats and came out nochem from the tongue. It went like a kafas, umitiburim v'nichnosos b'loshoinam. That's how they died. Their tongues extend to the navel. Worms came out of their tongue into the navel, went up to their mouth, back to their tongue.
The
it went a cycle. It was a misa mishuna in the cycle in the GI tract. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Omar be'asker emesu. They died asker, suffocation, with his inflammation in the throat and you can't breathe. Chazal said that the Talmid Rabbi Akiva, they also died in asker. It's an extremely painful death to suffocate. Suffocation. When the throat, inflammation and the suffocation. Shlomi, have a safe trip. Have a safe trip to Eretz Yisrael. I'm going to go to the hospital.